The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tomorrow I will be interviewing the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred.
When do Gabe and I get to give you questions to
what
ask?
What do you mean, when do you get to give me questions?
I feel like two.
I would ask you to stay tonight, but I only have the sofa bed, and it's where I sleep.
Well, we'll have to sleep head to toe.
All fans
what
on this station.
What do you want to ask the commissioner?
When's
what
he going to juice the balls again?
Yeah. So where's my jacket?
Oh, I must have left it at James's.
Spent the night at James's, did we?
Yeah, but we reversed positions, so there was no funny business.
I got one. Are we still pretending like you can't see genitals through the player's uniform?
Yeah, classic. Uniform questions, hard-hitting journalism.
Yeah, and you know how much I love talking about genitals, mm-hmm. but I don't think that's going to make the interview either.
It's a great question,
what the
though,
hell
Josh.
Are you doing?
Yeah, I don't understand what's going on here.
Matthew.
Reverse position?
Yeah, you know, head to toe.
So what? Your genitals are still lined up?
No, because I slept with my back to him.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Jen is off interviewing the commissioner of baseball. So we got a Dude Wednesday today. And we also have Josh's last day before he's going to be off for like a week and a half here.
11 days off.
What?
Well, next week, we're going to be, our show is off for the 4th. We're also going to be off for the 5th. So we're not going to have shows next, you know, Thursday,
which is
Friday.
I want to say one thing about the 5th. I'm proud of all of us. I believe they just don't do shows because everyone just took off regardless.
Yeah.
So it's just, we forced their hand.
I think they just kind of realized that we'd be having a skeleton crew. So it's like, it's not worth it. Get your vacation day
credit
back.
To we'll us. Just,
we're just going to give everybody
takeover.
Off. Basically.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you are going to be gone. I mean, you're not going to be gone for all 11 of those days, but you've brought up this trip before on the show where you're heading down for a wedding, you and your girlfriend, a wedding in Mexico. So, destination wedding. How many days are you going to be gone for?
I will be gone for 4 nights, 5 days. I will be in Cabo San Lucas at an all-inclusive resort. I'm pretty excited about it. Never left the country. I've done...
Really?
Yes. I've traveled a lot throughout the United States, never crossed the borders.
Ooh.
Had to do the passport thing, which was easy.
As long as you do it on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to get it expedited.
I did have to get it expedited, but they do it in like 2 weeks now. So I got it like a month and a half ago. Everyone was stressed about it.
We can get into that. Like, yeah. If you give us more money, we can do it faster if you want.
I've been waiting for Global for 3 months. You got yours in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
What happened with my Global is they sent it to the wrong email and I didn't get it. And my renewal time went by. Well, I delete everything because I'm gun-shy now because I really don't feel like taking the IT class over again. So it's been 3 months to get clearance from Clarence.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have any email issues.
Well, but also, he's just getting his passport. Like, you're doing this, like, global reentry thing, which is like...
I was already in the program. So I made a mistake.
And then you got yourself booted out of the program. I got to re-enter the program.
Booted, and I think it might be because of something I bought, though, that's delaying the process.
What? Okay.
We know.
We know what he bought?
Yeah, I bought a toy.
Oh, okay. I don't
know.
That's
what we think.
I don't know if they found out about you smuggling, you know, Viagra from Mexico over the border.
I don't think it's... Viagra's not legal? Or you need a prescription?
I don't know.
You know what? We need prescriptions for too much stupid stuff in this country.
I plan to take advantage of that while I'm in Mexico. Not anything illicit. Just like, hey, EpiPens are really expensive. We can get them for cheaper in Mexico. Hey, inhalers, a lot cheaper in Mexico.
Time out. Give me a tea out here. What do you need an EpiPen for?
I have a bee sting allergy. Mussolini has a tree nut allergy. So instead of paying $300 plus in America with health insurance, go get it for a little bit cheaper.
Well, plus the thing with the EpiPen is, like, what's the lifespan on that? You're spending $300.
Yeah.
And chances and you're hoping that you never use it.
Uh-huh.
So you're one of those guys. You're one of those guys.
What's that?
When a prescription or something goes past the expiration date, you throw it away?
Not that's the prescription.
A bunch of crap.
The
They're
EpiPen.
Only doing that so you buy more of it. There
Here's the thing. I tend to agree with you. I disregard most expiration dates on food, drinks, things like that. As long as it doesn't smell funky, doesn't have anything wrong with it.
We've all drank that flat beer.
Yeah.
That's been in the fridge for way too long. You kind of discover it in the back.
But when it comes
sour milk.
Yeah. When it comes
again, like if the milk's getting close, you just doesn't pass the smell test.
When it comes to prescriptions and life-saving things, I'm going to follow the FDA.
most most drugs that I probably have in my, like, the ibuprofen, the, you know, the allergy stuff. Yeah, that I don't care. But when it comes to an EpiPen, again, I don't need that. I don't have an allergy that is so severe I need one. But I've had friends that have had, like, I've seen a friend have to use an EpiPen, and I feel like that's not something you want to mess around with. I feel that's one you don't want to, you know, take the risk with.
What about salad dressing?
Salad dressing,
I'll keep
forever.
It's got vinegar in it. Vinegar preserves things very well.
Yeah, like as
Most
long as there's
do.
Not like chunks
a
in
year?
It.
A year?
Yeah,
a year?
I probably have salad dressing in my refrigerator. That's, well, probably not because we moved in February.
Out,
so yeah, because when we moved, you kind of clear a lot of that stuff out. But
can I ask you a question?
Please.
Sure do.
How do you know when sour cream's bad?
If it curdles and grows mold.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
See, that one is dangerous, though, because the smell, if you just take a whiff of sour cream, it's sour.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, it's in there.
That's what I'm saying.
It's telling you.
Yeah.
But anyway, Josh going on a trip. Chewy, you are, as you mentioned, you're waiting for your global reentry. You're a world traveler. You've taken many trips, and not just... obviously, the trip that you take, because I'm sure you have some things when you go down to your house in Florida, since you spend half the year down there. But when you're going on a trip, you know, you went on a cruise recently.
Yeah.
If you're on a trip like Joshy, 4 nights, 5 days, what's the socks and underwear situation? How many? Well, for you, it's probably just one pair of socks. So what's the underwear situation?
Socks are 3 because you're going to sweat more because it is very humid down there. Underwear, you just count it up. See, the problem is I got to pack underwear for my wife because she likes to sleep in my underwear. Which I don't know if it's weird or whatever. So I got to pack an extra 3.
How does your wife fit in your underwear? She's sleeping in a leg of your underwear? All right. I'm sorry. I'm asking too many questions. It just popped in my head and it came out.
So underwear, you're going to be in a bathing suit most of the time, Joshy.
Uh-huh.
Right? So... the amount of underwear is the amount of days you're going to be there. That's how I do it.
You don't do any...
Now, the first thing, Joshy, the first thing you have to attack are the negatives, because there's negatives. And don't fight the negatives. People fight the negatives. They get frustrated. They start fighting with their significant other or spouse. Here are the negatives.
Are we talking about packing? What are we talking about?
No, we're talking on the way there.
Okay.
Okay?
This is good information.
Travel's going to suck.
Yep.
It's going to suck. So are you connecting before you get to Cabo?
We are, yes. We're going to Denver and then to Cabo.
As soon as you land in Cabo, get a beer. Because transportation is horrible. No one down there knows what they're doing. There's going to be so many locals in your face trying to sell you stuff. Just don't address them. Just keep walking.
So we
try
actually,
to get to where you need to be.
We actually have transportation paid for, and they're going to have a sign for us specifically. But we have been warned, don't talk to anybody trying to sell you anything, and they'll try and convince you you're your driver. They'll go all different ways.
Is this private transportation,
yes,
or is it group transportation?
It's private.
Okay, so that's good. But it's going to take a half hour for them to get the private. Have a beer. Have 2. Okay. Is there a specific something you like? Booze wine or whatever.
I drink Highlands.
Are you okay with what the hotel's going to be serving? Because we have to stop for wine because, you know, all I drink is wine.
Oh, yeah, no.
And you are a wine connoisseur.
Yes.
Like, you are specific about your wine.
Yes. So we always tip the driver, and the kind of the 7-Eleven of Mexico is XO. It's just XO, I believe. So if you want to go there, get some snacks, get a bottle of something, Joshy, that you really want for the room, give the driver $20, tell him to stop at an XO. And then you're good.
I'm a beer drinker, so I'll be happy.
So you
with,
should be all right?
Yeah, I don't foresee any reason why I'll need to.
Now, okay, the check-in process is going to be very disorganized. Just, I'm telling you, it's just going to be disorganized. Lubricate, you'll be fine once you get to the room.
It seems like
now. Oh, here's another one. Here's another one.
The advice is just revolving around keeping and maintaining your buzz. That's what this most of this advice seems to be.
But it's also, Gabe, not getting frustrated. So here's what you do, Josh.
Yeah,
it's going to take
maintain.
It's going to take forever to get your luggage to the room. So pack a bathing suit for you and your girlfriend in a separate bag so you can go to the room. Get in a bathing suit, go to the pool, because most times it takes a good 2 hours to get your bag. If you just go down there with the clothes you're wearing, you're going to be sitting in stink for a while.
Huh.
So put that stuff in a separate bag, maybe with a pair of flip-flops, change, go to the pool, all-inclusive starts.
What is your packing situation? So what was your previous plan? 4 days, 5 nights. What was your underwear plan?
I was planning on taking 6 pairs of underwear because I have 3 events that are wedding related on 3 separate days. Other than that, I plan to be in, like Chewy said, swim shorts.
Yeah.
Just the whole time. I've got...
So what do you call them? Because Chewy's called them a bathing suit. Do we call them swimming trunks? Now you've called them swim shorts.
I think there's a difference, like, based on the lining. Like, the lining, I think, are trunks. And just the swim shorts, or the board shorts, technically, are just the wear whatever.
Okay.
Joshy, is the wedding outside?
It is not.
It's inside.
Yeah, and I have to wear a suit for it. Not happy about that.
Okay, I was going to say, don't wear white, because you're going to get swamp tail.
Yeah, no, I didn't. The only white I have is for the T-shirts that I'll be wearing to and from the pool. Trying to keep cool.
Okay. Not cotton. I hope they're not cotton.
Oh, they are.
I hope they're not cotton. You need dry fits, buddy.
I do.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
You're in trouble.
I do. I will say I have, Mussolini made the purchase for me, UV shirts, because I'm a pale Wisconsinite, and the UV there is like at 7 a.m. It's a 9. So
yes,
I plan to be outside most of the time, and even sunscreen, I think, would be an issue for me.
Just be rendered useless.
Right.
All right. And then the most important thing of all, Joshy, most important, I cannot stress this enough. Do not drink the water.
That I've been told the same. Go bottled.
Do not go to the airport and, hey, I'm parched. I need a water. I need to go to the water fountain. Do not do it. You will regret it. You will be sitting on the throne, the Game of Thrones, all weekend long. Do not drink the water.
Billy,
and I think that's it for the negatives. I think we covered all the negatives.
Billy in Sussex wants to know, Josh, are you like Brad, who famously packs 2 weeks prior to a trip?
No, I don't have a single thing packed yet. But I have all of this afternoon and night to take care of it. So I'm not. I have everything set aside already that I plan to take.
Is this your first trip, like big trip like this, with the girlfriend?
Yes.
So it's the first time you've like traveled with her.
Well, we've.
What's the situation in terms of sharing bags? Are you trying to condense down into one bag?
That's a whole thing. I've lost real estate in my own suitcase. Now there is a fair excuse because she's going to be doing hair for the wedding, the bride,
the
bride's
party.
Mother, and some of the girls there. So. Like, she needs to bring hair dryers, curlers, straighteners, all of that. And she's fearful of going overweight in her suitcase.
In her luggage.
So I've now assumed at least 3 or 4 things and things periodically have been getting added to mine. But I was looking at what I'm planning to bring.
Yeah.
Swim trunks?
From what you've told me, you could probably fit your stuff into a backpack.
Yes, the suit is going to be a problem because I don't want to have to jam that in there. Go ahead.
One other thing, Joshy. You got aqua socks?
I don't have aqua socks.
You might want to buy a cheap pair down there because this is the problem. Booze time starts a little early in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So you sit in the pool all day long because it's hot. And you know how your hands turn to prunes?
Pruny feet.
Well, your feet will turn to prunes. And all of those pools down there are like a concrete sandpaper finish.
Mm-hmm.
People tear up their feet because they're in the pool for 3-4 hours moving around, having a good time, and then you come out, and then your feet are raw. So you can get them cheap down there for, I don't know, $5. That might be a good investment for you.
That's a tip I hadn't even considered yet.
That's good information. We'll continue to give some of those tips later in the show as we learn more about Josh's trip, as he's taking a big one down to Mexico for a wedding. But also, we're going to dive into, before we get to Adam Schefter, some of this quarterback carousel of who's getting paid and maybe why not hearing much about Jordan Love as of right now is probably a good thing. We dive into that coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source.
What's a click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
good
getting
good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Some good feedback here too, Joshy, for your impending trip. Joshy's taking a trip to Mexico for a wedding with his girlfriend. Going to be missing the rest of this week's shows. Won't be on the show at all next week. First, TC, our boy TC, when it comes to the underwear situation and how much you should be packing, he says you need at least 3 times the number of days for drawers for all-inclusive. You need your breakfast buffet drawers, then you got to change out of those for the pool, dinner drawers, then you sweat more, anything. So he said when he hit Mexico for 5 days, it was a minimum 12 pairs of underwear.
Wow.
That's a lot of underwear.
Way too many. You can recycle. Come on. You can recycle. You can recycle.
Kevin's saying don't even use the tap water to brush your teeth. I had memories from the trip 2 weeks after getting home.
Oof.
So, and to that point, Justin saying, to that water point, you have to be careful with mixed drinks, too, if they're just using an ice maker that uses the resort's water. Pretty sure that got me once.
My plan is to just go beers and canned beverages the whole, like, canned and bottled
beverages
the whole time.
Brush your teeth with beer? I've never done that. That's kind of cool. Is this, how are the reviews for the all-inclusive? Are they solid?
Yes, it's one of the higher-end places there. So.
Oh, then they'll have a water, whatever, filtration system there. You'll be okay. I'm just talking more, Joshy, off property, like the airport. Do not drink, you know.
Yeah.
Even be careful washing your hands.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't even really.
Have you ever had Montezuma's Revenge?
No, but you also got it once here from eating a, you know, meat lover's pizza.
Yeah, but that wasn't Montezuma. That was Luigi. That was Luigi's revenge. That was Visine. Because Visine will do the same thing, but it won't last as long.
Okay. Montezuma's revenge.
But Montezuma, sometimes you have to get antibiotics to get rid of it. For real. Yeah.
So be careful, Joshy. I think that's the moral of the story here.
I'm not quite prepared for that.
Meanwhile, the Dolphins are being careful with Tua Tagovailoa. So we continue to talk about Jordan Love and his contract and all these quarterbacks. So far, two have been paid this offseason. And then there are three remaining out there, and Love, Tua, and Dak. And Jeff Darlington of ESPN reported yesterday that the Dolphins are, quote, not offering the contract are not offering the contract that is market value. Based on my conversations, they are not in the Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence ballpark. And it just seems like, Chewy, things are getting contentious, and I think we knew it was going to get to contentious down in Miami because Tua's sitting there going, hey, I led the league in passing last year. Clearly the Dolphins don't want to pay him. Meanwhile, most of the things happening around Jordan Love are still quiet. I think that's a good sign right now, because that means things aren't getting contentious and they don't have to negotiate things in the media right now.
I don't think they want to pay Tua. I don't think they have enough. I just thought Miami, you know, Miami's for years and years and years have been looking to replace the quarterback they have. They like Tua. I don't think they love Tua. And I think in order to love Tua, to pay him $55 million a year like a Trevor Lawrence, you have to love him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think – and if I was representing Tua
– Yeah.
Because they have Super Bowl aspirations,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
They probably believe they can get there. If I'm Tua's representative and they're offering, say, high 40s, I'd tell them to hold out. I wouldn't do it with Jordan Love. I wouldn't, because I think eventually they will meet at Trevor Lawrence.
The Packers and Love.
I think right now Love's agent wants more than Trevor Lawrence, which I don't think he deserves. So I think eventually they will meet at Trevor Lawrence, because agents want to win the negotiation too, just like the Packers do. We still have, what, 3 weeks?
Till training camp, four weeks? Yeah, 4 weeks, about a month.
So there's plenty of time. There's no reason right now to make this thing money. I would say that Tua and the Dolphins are much farther apart than Jordan.
Oh, 100%. Like, you're seeing the reports come out of
Miami. But do you blame them, Gabe? Do you blame them?
No.
Are you all in on Tua?
No, I think you – did you bring this up? Because I was doing Amber and Ian last night, and there was a clip from Harry Douglas who said, hey, I think that maybe the Dolphins just don't pay and wait for Dak. See if Dak hits the free agent market and kind of flop him out. I think that was kind of an idea you had as well of, well, they don't love him, and maybe they just wait to see and don't pay Tua and just wait to see if Dak ends up becoming a free agent. Because at the end of the day, if Dak – the one thing the Dolphins have going for them, it's the one thing that no player wants, but – if push comes to shove and they explore all their other options, which they have done already, by the way, in previous seasons trying to replace Tua, if push comes to shove and they feel they can't do any better, they just throw the franchise tag on him to give them a longer negotiating window, right? Like, if they wait and Dak becomes a free agent and then they get in on Dak, like that to me is almost worth the risk, isn't it?
I think Dallas has to start over. I mean, they're not healthy cap-wise, and if you pay your quarterback $60 million, that's even going to heat more. I don't even think Dallas, even though Dak had a very good regular season, he stinks in the playoffs.
I think they're
going to let him play out this year. I think they're going to let him play out this year, and if somehow he wins NFL MVP, then maybe they play him 60. But I think they're close to a total reset down there. And in regards to Tua, they tried replacing him with Brady.
Yeah, they've tried replacing him with Brady. Deshaun Watson.
Uh-huh.
They were in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And
so you're not going to tell me, and I've seen reports, Miami's all in on Tua, they love him. They don't love him.
Yeah,
they don't love him.
It's the most important thing. You can say whatever you want, that we believe in Tua, he's our franchise quarterback, but if you're not willing to pay him what it takes... the 53 to 55, it doesn't matter.
It's one of those, because then it's just...
Right, it's just words.
It's just words
you're
at
just
that point, unless you're actually willing to pony up. But when you're looking at the three that are left, quarterbacks, things seem like they could be getting contentious in Dallas. Things seem like they could be getting contentious in Miami. While in Green Bay, it's all quiet, which is good. That is a good thing. Nobody's negotiating through the media right now. And it makes me think that Jordan's deal is going to get done. I don't know what's going to happen with the other two. They may have that drag into the season, could be a distraction. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen in Green Bay. But we'll see what Adam Schefter thinks and has to say as he joins us for his weekly segment. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, we have some more news.
Adam, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It'll be up to Russ Ball to see if he can get this deal done, wants to get it done. don't think that they're anywhere close to getting it done right now. And those are conversations that will occur here.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Always excited to talk to our guy, Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam.
What is going on there, guys? How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing great. So, Jen not here today because she has a project she's working on where she is interviewing the commissioner of baseball. She has an interview with Rob Manfred out in New York today, so she's off the show. So that's where I want to start with you. If you could sit down with any commissioner of any sport and ask one question, who would you want to sit down with, and what would that question be?
Well, I obviously we want to sit down with Roger Goodell. I wouldn't know where to start with Adam Silver. Adam Silver,
well,
such a nice guy.
I know you are an NBA fan, so I didn't know if you wanted to talk to Adam Silver, if you had any questions for him.
He's an impressive guy, Adam Silver. I don't think I've ever had the chance to meet him before. I've never met Rob Manfred before. Jen's meeting him today. Roger, I know. Having worked at the league office, been around the sport, obviously.
For a couple years.
Talked with Roger many times. Yeah, I've talked with Roger many times. That would be the guy because it would be related to my job. And I guess what I want to talk to him about, I don't know, just the general forward direction of the game, where it's going with 18 games, international flavor, could they redo the CBA, things like that. You know, nothing that I feel like, boy, I've got to ask him this one question. I don't feel that right now. But, yeah, there are enough global issues in the National Football League that there's always something that's interesting and notable.
So with Goodell, as time has gone on, do you feel like his reputation has gotten better amongst NFL fans? Because for the longest time, I felt it was incredibly bad, and even with the players, because he was the judge and jury when it came to handing down punishments and things of that nature. And it feels like a lot of that has mellowed over time.
Yeah, listen, I think he's evolved, right? He was going through it. I mean, you know, there was a period there where really it seemed like it was the first time that domestic violence was taken seriously in sports. That had never really happened before. And Roger was at the forefront of that, bad and good, right? Like people criticizing him for not being stern enough and not being harsh enough on some of these players. And in terms of being the judge, jury, and executioner, I think the league was smart enough in the CBA to take out some of these violations. I was saying to somebody the other day, it's June 25th, and it feels quieter than it normally is because it is quieter because there are a few reasons. Number one, I think the league, the players in the league have gotten much savvier. I think they've grown up in a different environment. They've grown up knowing that they're constantly being watched and scrutinized. And if anything goes wrong, they're going to be out front in the media. And I think people have seen enough of that to know, okay, they've done a better job avoiding it. And I think the league in the CBA has eliminated some of the suspensions that used to come this time of the year. You know, this time of the year, we used to get, 10, 12 players suspended for violating the substance abuse policy, for smoking pot, whatever it would be. And the league has kind of moved away from that. So you lose some headlines there. And you lose some headlines. It used to be that, rookie contracts were a big deal. A lot of them wouldn't get done. They've taken care of that in the CBA. So I Rodgers out front on a lot of this. So a lot of the negative attention that would come to the league at this time of the year with off-the-field incidents, with suspensions, and to a lesser degree, holdouts, all those things have basically, I don't say they've gone away because they haven't. There's always situations that occur, but they've certainly decreased, it feels like, over time.
Adam, I see that Jacksonville okayed their $1.4 billion to renovate their stadium. The Panthers kind of did the same. How serious are the Chiefs in losing, Kansas City and moving to Kansas? Is that a real deal?
Well, here's what I would say to you. What's interesting is that the Chiefs stadium issue was opened up to a vote. And it was obviously attached to the Royal Stadium as well. So citizens were voting on whether to approve stadium renovations for both the Chiefs and the Royals rather than just the Chiefs, you know, because they're in the same complex, not the same building, but the same sports complex with the two stadiums side by side. If anybody's ever been to Kansas City, I know you have, I have. It got turned down. You know, and I think that the message that, like, taxpayers don't want to give these sports teams and owners any more money than they already have. Like, they don't want to make sure that these owners who are worth billions already have more money, or more of their money. Like, that doesn't seem fair or right. But in the case of the Panthers and the Jaguars, it went through city councils, and the city councils approved it. It never went to vote, right? And so,
gotcha.
If anything, and I don't know the politics of it all, but I don't know why the Chief, like, it's hard for me to imagine that in this day and age, anybody on any sports team is going to win a popular vote of citizens for more money for stadiums and renovations like that. I would say most every situation, if not all those situations, would be rejected. But the Jaguars and Panthers had the foresight. And however this works, I'm not familiar with the politics in every city, to go through city council. And they were able to get what they wanted through the members of the city council, whereas the Chiefs went to vote. Now, where does that leave the Chiefs? In a tough spot, in an uncomfortable spot. There's uncertainty about their future, whether they would stay there, whether they would move to nearby area or not. Look, anything's possible. I don't know what's real and what's not. I'm not close enough to the situation. But I think that's the big message with those stadium situations. If it's going to vote.
Adam, does it get to a point where the league will step in and say, ho, let's pump the brakes here? Or no, or is this all? Because doesn't it have to pass a vote with the owners? Don't they have to get like 2/3 permission in order to move to Kansas? Oh.
Mark, let me explain to you how that vote's going to go. And let me explain to you how the owners are going to vote. They're going to vote with their hands on their wallets, okay? So if the move to Kansas makes them more money, they're voting for that. And, like, I laughed at this. I saw a sentence that somebody wrote last night. Oh, this Jaguars renovation still has to be approved by owners. Oh, so there's going to be an owner who votes against the city giving the Jacksonville Jaguars $650 million? Really? Let me tell you how that's going to go, okay? Put it on the ticket right. It's unanimous. It passed, okay? It's going to pass. I mean, what are we talking about? And by the way, I don't think the owners – I mean, if the Green Bay Packers were trying to move, maybe the league might get involved and say, hold on, you know, you're not going from Green Bay to Iowa, or you're not going from Green Bay to Vancouver, whatever it is. Yes, okay? There are certain things like that. But in these cases, please, it's all about the money and how the other owners are going to benefit from it. So, you know, the Jaguars' plans getting approved, the Panthers' plans getting approved. We'll see what happens with the Chiefs. And I can tell you that the other owners want what's best for the Chiefs, period.
Something I haven't been following super close, Adam, I don't know if you have, this antitrust Sunday ticket case, which could be wrapping up here soon. And look, I don't want to dive into the details of it. People can find that. The only thing that I'm curious about is if the NFL is found liable in this case, a jury could award $7 billion in damages, and because it's an antitrust case,
triple damages,
get tripled. Where does that money come from? Like, would the owners, I mean, obviously the owners would have to pay it because they have the league. Is there a way that they would go, okay, hey, we just had to pay $21 billion in this case. Now the salary cap's going down, or is this completely separate? I just don't know how those finances would work.
Nor do I. I guess I should ask that question, but I don't know the answer. And do people have insurance in cases like that? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I'm not...
Who's insuring $21 billion?
It's not an area that I have great expertise in. I'd have to ask.
Yeah,
that.
Because
and by the way, before I even ask that, I will guarantee you that the league doesn't feel like it's going to go that way. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know where that money would come from, but they don't feel like it's going to happen the way that you just outlined. That I can tell you.
Yeah, everything I've read seems like this is probably going to go the league's way, but I guess, again, like I really don't care because, A, I'm not a part of the lawsuit, and if billionaires end up losing some money, the only way I care as a fan is if the salary cap goes down and my team's trying to negotiate a contract with their star quarterback. Like, how does that affect
it? Right. But if it's going to affect your team and your quarterback, it's going to affect everybody's team and their quarterback, mm-hmm. too. Right. So they're all on equal footing here, and it's not like it's going to impact one team more than another team. They're all in this together, just like they are on these stadium renovations, even though Jacksonville and Carolina will profit the most.
Adam, what were your thoughts on the Packers naming Ed Policy as their next president?
You know, to me, it was obvious that it was going in this direction all along. Like, everybody I talked to around the league for months had said Ed Policy is going to wind up getting the job. Now, again, they hire search firms. I don't know why they needed a search firm in this particular case, to be perfectly frank. They looked at Jason Wright in Washington. They looked at Sashi Brown in Baltimore. They looked at guys like Tony Pastores in Los Angeles. I got to tell you something, with all due respect, me and you two guys could have done this search and saved the Packers hundreds of thousands of dollars in search firm costs, okay? And it would have been every bit as effective, and it would have produced the same exact result. Ed Policy was the guy who has worked himself into a position where he was regarded as the favorite. He deserved this job. You could look at all these other people. You could have suggested names to talk to. I could have suggested names to talk to. They could have gotten some other independent names that they did. Please. Ed Policy was the guy that was going to win this job. He just was. He deserves it. He has the reputation for it. I'm sure he's going to be outstanding at it. And my only complaint would be that they use search firms to aid the process when, in my mind, it wasn't necessary here.
Adam, you've been, you know, again, with your job, you travel a little bit. Our producer, Joshy, is taking a big trip. He's going to be going down to Mexico for a wedding with his girlfriend.
Ooh.
Four nights, 5 days. We can get
That's
more of the details
yep.
if you want.
Yep.
But my question to you, if you're going on a trip like that, four nights, 5 days, how many pairs of underwear are you packing? Because this is a big decision. Like, you don't want to have too much to take up. You know, you don't want to have too little.
Yeah, but underwear is not Tina. I'm going to take 4 nights, 5 days. I'm going to take 8 pairs of underwear.
Why 8?
All right, that's.
I doubled the 4.
Okay.
What? Just in case? Like, you know, well, actually, five days, I might take 10. I might take 10. I'd rather have 10 because.
Do you get your entire luggage, Adam, or does your wife get a percentage of your luggage as well as hers? Because I get about 60% of my own luggage.
Chewy, I get one bag, and then my wife takes 2 giant bags. So, like, she can't take any more things. Like, in fact, we're about to go on a little brief trip for 3 days. You would think that my wife is leaving for 3 months, right? Not 3 days. But this is, look. She's got anxiety with flying. She doesn't like to do it. And so, you know, one time I learned, you know, listen, we all learn things in marriage, right? So, like, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, this is a giant bag for 3. This is the stuff I want to bring in. You know, she is very apprehensive about flying, has not flown a whole lot at all. So I learned, like, okay, whatever it is that brings her comfort and makes her happy, good. Honey, you want to bring 4 bags? Great. Well, then we'll bring in 4 bags. Like, that's it. I learned to keep my mouth quiet, not say anything, and whatever she wants to bring, she can bring.
You taking notes over there,
too? Does she let you work? Does she let you work on vacation, or does she give you the Adam enough? Put the phone away.
Well, I'll never forget. Like, you got to understand something. We've gone, I can count on a single hand the number of times we've been away together, okay? So, number one, she doesn't like to fly. She lost her first husband on 9/11, right? So after that, she was done flying. And it took a long time to get her to fly again, understandably so. We went for our 10-year anniversary for a weekend to Nantucket. And I remember flying there for that weekend. And I remember when we landed, the Chiefs fired John Dorsey. And it's not like that in and of itself is a big story. But what happens is when John Dorsey gets fired, I get eight GMs that are calling me to find out what happened with John Dorsey in Kansas City. And you're not going to say, you know, I don't know. I'm on vacation. Call me. You know, I'll call you on Monday and get back to you. So you're taking these phone calls, and I'm on my 10-year anniversary vacation for that. That wasn't really – that didn't go over all that great. You know, so it does happen, you know, when you're away that work intervenes. And you think at this time of the year that nothing would happen. And like I said, we're about to go away for a few days to the West Coast, our whole family, a few days. And hopefully nothing will happen, and it'll be a nice little getaway. Yeah,
Adam,
and I'll bring you for the 3 days. I'll bring 5-6 pairs of underwear.
All right, thank you.
Adam, I got a quick John Dorsey story for you. So John Dorsey was a scout for the Packers in '92 when I was being drafted, and obviously I wasn't going to be a high round draft pick. So he's coming in to work me out, and I'm like a couple days before running a 40, working on my starts, you know, going to the gym, benching that. I'm off. So he comes in, he goes, "You got a pair of basketball shoes?" And I'm like, yeah, sure. What size? 13? I'm here. He goes, let's go play basketball. So we go. He doesn't even work me out. We just go into the recplex, play basketball. He's like, ah, great. Leaves. I'm like, I've got no chance of going to the Green Bay Packers. I didn't run a 40. I didn't do anything. Lo and behold, sixth round. I couldn't believe it.
He was looking at your athletic ability in through a different lens at that time. You didn't realize it.
Yeah.
He was looking at your athletic ability to see how you could jump, see how you could move, see how your feet were. He was doing it in a different setting because he had the other information on the other variables.
Which wasn't good. Which wasn't good, Adam.
But that's why he was taking another look to see, okay, let me look at this guy's feet. Let me see his hand-eye coordinate, like all those things like that, right? And John's a tremendous scout. He's tremendous at what he does. So
obviously
he recognized. He recognized something in you, and there we
they
go.
They could have took me in the fourth round. It didn't have to be the sixth.
how many years did you get to play for?
Nine.
How many years? No, that's pretty good. And how many Pro Bowls?
Three where I was legitimately voted in. Not like today where the seventh alternate gets in, so.
Right, yeah, I got it. But three Pro Bowls. It's good. Nine years.
That's solid.
Quickly, before we let you go, Adam, because you had David Bakhtiari on your podcast last week, do you think he ends up signing with a team in 2024?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Without question. Like,
really?
That, you know, Oh, yeah. And in fact, I went into that conversation that I had with him on my podcast, and I wasn't sure, you know, what he was going to say. Like, okay, he wants to play. He doesn't want to play. Doesn't know how the knee's going to hold up. And my takeaways were, oh, yeah, he wants to play. Oh, yeah, he's going to play. He's talking to teams. And I was surprised, but on the podcast, he said he wanted to play multiple seasons. Now, that I wasn't expecting to hear that day either. That told me that he feels pretty good about where he's at, and he's confident that his latest knee procedure in November, I believe it was, really helped him out. He sounded good. He felt good. I think he's going to play this year. And I would think he's going to sign at some point this summer. Like, I don't know whether that's before camp or 2 weeks into camp. But I think my guess would be, what is it, June 25th?
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in the next six weeks, he'll wind up signing somewhere. And by the way, I also think he would be the first guy, that if there were a playoff contending team that suffered an injury to an offensive tackle during camp of any kind, like, he's the first call I'm making.
Adam, we certainly appreciate the time. I'm rooting for no news to break during your little getaway that you're taking with your family out to the West Coast. So best of luck with that, my friend.
Yeah, it's not much of a trip, but it's a little trip, and for us, you know, for us, little trips are big trips because we don't really do this kind of thing. So hopefully it'll be nice. We're looking forward to it. And as you said, hopefully there is no news. I'm sure there'll be something, though. There always is.
Always is with the NFL. That's why we appreciate you. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Adam Schefter joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And he's brought to you in part by our friends at the Isla Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today. Always appreciate Adam Schefter joining us Wednesdays here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But with Jen out, she's in New York interviewing Rob Manfred. Chewy, if there was a commissioner that you could interview, who would it be, and what is the one question you would want to ask?
I asked it yesterday, and it would be to Manfred. Like, why? I mean, we have female referees.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are female officials in NBA.
Correct. That's
right?
Correct. Yep.
I'm not sure about hockey, but I would ask him, why aren't there any in MLB? Isn't that kind of strange?
Yeah, I mean, very well.
I would think, hold on, Gabe, what sport do you think is the easiest to officiate?
It's probably baseball.
Yeah. So it would stand a reason that there would be at least some in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if I've even seen, I don't know if I saw any in my time. So I worked in the Northwoods League doing games for the Madison Mallards when I first got out of school, and they use leagues like that as like a breeding ground to, okay, this is like your first job. Sure. As an umpire. Then you can move up to the minor leagues. And just like players, you move through the minor leagues on your way up to the major leagues. I'm not even sure if I saw a female umpire in my 5 years in the Northwoods League. Again, this was over a decade ago at this point. But maybe there was one. I don't know. Maybe there's just not interest.
I considered it for a while because I was really bored after I was done.
Being an official?
Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be pretty cool.
What would you want to be?
The only problem is, they put big guys in the middle as line judges. I broke one guy's nose one time. I felt horrible. We were in Pittsburgh, and I was running a shallow cross where you come shallow across the field. And I sometimes would use that official as a pick.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was on this play because I was being covered man-to-man. And I was going to go in front of him.
Yeah.
So I was setting up as I was going to go over the top of him and then use him as a shield and come under him.
Mm-hmm.
And he stepped up, and I hit him right in the nose with the bridge of my helmet.
Oh.
And he went down. He had to. I think he came out of the game. He must have broke his nose. I felt horrible. And I'll always remember that play. And because they always put the big guys right there.
Yeah, but they've moved that judge. I mean, do they still
they
go
did
there?
Move him.
They moved him, so he's in the offensive backfield now.
Yeah.
Like, how far did you go? Did you like look into what it would take? Like, is there like a school you have to go to become an official?
There is, but you got to start at the lowest of levels, which would probably be Division III. And
you didn't want to grind like that.
Bosses.
You just wanted to get
I
right
didn't
to the.
Grind.
You wanted to. Go
I wanted
right
to go right
show.
To the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
You think they would have? I mean, you're a smart guy.
Me. Yeah.
Pipe dream.
Am I?
Jeff Darlington had some interesting comments yesterday. We dive into jersey culture. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.